Hello, people. Welcome to a new episode of Three in a Row. I am Damola, and I am here with Tope and Ifatu. The conversation for today's recording started right off the bat with us going over Arsenal versus United, which team looked better, whether it was a fluke, and then diving into the larger world of football, talking Benzema, Lewandowski, the sacking of Thomas Tuchel, is Klopp on fraud watch, among many others. Sit back, enjoy, and let us know your thoughts on all our socials. Thank you.
Yes.
You definitely didn't hear anything from me. You definitely didn't hear anything from me.
United Twitter was loud now. Haba, it was very loud.
Yeah, United Twitter was extremely loud after that victory.
Those guys don't represent my opinions, man. I don't. In fact, I wish to be disassociated from those guys, man.
If I definitely tweeted something, sure. I'm not saying it's a
bro. I didn't tweet nothing. I didn't. What? You can go and check. I didn't tweet nothing. I didn't tweet nothing.
No.
What? I have some shame. Come on. But I'm going to pull up the stats. I'm going to pull up the stats because I don't know why Arsenal fans are of the opinion that they like dominated that game. Like
we dominated the game. We had a greater XG. We had 60% possession. Like we had more.
I'm seeing here you had 60% possession, right? I'm sure that was like mostly in the second half after we got our goal and like you guys were like playing catch up. But anyway, I'm seeing here total shots. United 10 shots, Arsenal 16. United 6 shots on target, Arsenal 3. United 4 big chances, Arsenal 3. United 1 big chance missed, Arsenal 2 big chances missed. But even if you missed, even if you got your chances, we still have one ahead of you. You know?
So if you say United was more clinical in the game as per finishing, I do not disagree with you there. But that's the only thing United.
No, but we had more big chances than you guys. If we have 100% what do you call it? Clinicality. If we all finish off all our chances, United will have 4 goals and Arsenal will have 3.
On the counter attack, my G. On the counter attack.
Anyway, United won the game, more importantly. So United was the better team.
With a handicap. One to spare.
What handicap?
Oh, he's talking about the results, the final scoreline.
Handicap is 3-1. It means you guys score a goal and you still lose the game.
Thank you.
That's more than enough. That's more than sufficient, guys.
But I believe to be fair, if Arsenal scores that first Martinelli goal, we win.
Yeah. Can we start talking about that? I think I'm gonna make it a mission to talk about the abysmal state.
Dude, Damola, it's almost like you cursed the English referees before the start of the season on the last episode. Like they've been way worse than I could have even imagined.
Like
I feel like those kinds of things always happen. I agree. Like, I don't agree that it was not a foul. It was definitely a foul. It was a foul, right? But I agree that the referee looks at that and dismisses it, and you know says that play should go on. And I feel like play should go on. I don't agree that VAR should interrupt the process. You know, after the goal has been scored, given that the referee saw it clearly and said that play should go on. However, play should not have gone on. You know, the referee should not have said please go on. And I was lucky in this case, and I'm happy to be lucky. Thank you.
All I'm saying is when it's against Arsenal, the referee will go and the VAR will tell referee to go and look at something in slow motion 10 times that did not really deserve to be looked at. But if it's against Arsenal, like somebody went to clothesline Xhaka, the VAR won't even tell the referee to go and look at it. English, do you know anything about it? Everybody keeps saying, oh, VAR, this VAR, that, blaming the technology. When in reality, the problem isn't VAR. The problem is EPL refs are terrible.
And the consistency, yeah. They're
terrible across the board. And it's just like, I don't know who teaches, in the words of Aswenga, English refs, and maybe I think it's either Italian or Spanish, are the only ones that are actually like they have a professional institution behind them. At the same time, English refs are the worst ones. It's disgusting. There's a reason Wenger said that when he dies and God asks him if he wants to go to heaven or hell, he will ask where the English refs are. And I can't even lie, man. It's me too. I'm thinking about it that way. But
Femi Kuti, he put something on his Twitter. On his Instagram, like a serious post alleging that English referees are the most corrupt.
But come on, Tokwe, you of all people don't buy that nonsense about corruption in the Premier League.
No, I don't. That one is a stretch for me.
There's too much money.
But
I mean,
there's
just
bias
like,
against Arsenal, sure. I can't lie.
No, yes, that I agree with. Ones. There's bias against Arsenal. It's
man. No, you know. I'm sorry. I personally, I'm not buying a bias against Arsenal or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, because your team
okay,
benefits.
Let me ask you guys. Are you guys saying that was not a foul? Like before Martinez was cancelled.
I'm saying foul? It's a soft. It's soft. It's one of those that you can let go. And the ref actually did
let it go. Yes,
in real exactly. time. Yeah. In real time.
But I just want us all to acknowledge that it was a foul, Sha. And that it is possible for that to be, you know, for the whistle to be blown right away thanks. For such an act where you don't even touch the ball. But yeah, they,
gone. Yeah. Well, you know, again, yeah, let me not, despite my gripes, Arsenal played well in that game.
Arsenal played well.
I wish we won, but I'm happy, even though we lost, it was a solid performance. But we need to clean up those individual mistakes. I feel like this season, every goal we've conceded has been on the back of some like individual lapse of judgment. Against United, three of them were individual mistakes. The first one was by Gabriel, that nonsense tackle. Well, two individual mistakes in that one. Gabriel and Zinchenko position.
That was
Gabriel
also Lokonga's fault, mainly Lokonga.
Yeah, Loki, I don't want to put all the blame on Lokonga because he's young, but he's like, he played well against, who did we play against? Fulham. He had a pretty solid game against Fulham. Then we play United and he has a disaster class. But you know, learning process, I won't be on his neck about it. Hopefully it's something he learns and his position awareness gets better, because given Partey's injury history, we're going to need to lean on him a bit more heavily.
Partey tricked us, man. In fact, we should ban Partey from this podcast.
What's up with Partey though? Like, I don't think it's a long-term injury, is it?
No, it's not long-term.
It should be back when the Prem resumes now, hopefully.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But rest in peace, Queen Elizabeth.
Lizzie. I mean, Lizzie, because of you, Shade postponed what was meant to be me beating Everton up and down. But you know, I'll take
Damola, you needed that for like right?
Do you know, I here's the thing, but I needed it more because October is a bloody month for us, man.
Right.
So we have Liverpool, we have Tottenham, we have City. October is a very bloody month. So right. I wanted to like get this Everton game out of the way and hopefully get a W against Brentford before that bloody month. But you know, with Lizzie's passing, we have to take it where we see it. But who knows, it may be good because they didn't call up my Brazilian boys, so they should technically have.
I was very offended by that.
Yeah, a bit dodgy still, like the trigger Gabriel.
Well, no, but I'll put it this way though. You can't say it's performance that they didn't call them. I don't know why they didn't call them, in fairness, but like the only person there that I'm almost worried about their World Cup chances because they didn't call is Martinelli. Because Brazil is just stacked on that side. But Jesus, he's going. Gabriel Magalhães, he's also going. I'm not worried about the two of them. For some reason, Tite didn't bring them.
It's up to Gabriel. I think it's because they're friendly, so they want to look at other players that they haven't yet. But
exactly.
It's up to Martinelli. He's going to have the opportunity to play. So
that Martinelli on his bit. But the problem, so first of all, Neymar is balling. Shout out to Joga Bonito. But that Brazil's left wing is stacked to the point where Neymar doesn't even play on the left wing for them. He plays in a free sort of 10, sometimes false nine role. On that left wing, they have Rafinha, who is interchangeable. They have, let me look at Brazil's left wing properly. Right. Yeah, sorry, that's true. Rafinha is on the right. But that's like, wing is somewhere Brazil is unfortunately stacked right now.
Yeah.
Because they well just...
I'm interested to know like what United fans think of what this means for the rest of their season now, though. And just as I called, they lost against Sociedad. Embarrassing.
Yeah. I'm not even going to lie, man. It's in the words of, you know, Stormzy, You can't talk about a legend and like Ronaldo anyhow. At the same time,
but Ten Hag is using him anyhow, no? Ronaldo had to accept that.
So, what do you mean by Ten Hag using him anyhow?
For the first time ever, Ronaldo has had to accept that, you know, maybe he's no longer a first team starter.
He's human.
That was bound to happen at some point, though. No,
7. Yes.
Yeah. No, but it's so obviously I don't want to like. I'm trying to enjoy them, not compare them, but it's like. Even Messi, you can tell like the way the new PSG coach is using him. There's an understanding that there's certain things Messi cannot do anymore. So his primary function is just to be a facilitator. Like if you look at Messi, he hasn't really, I don't think he scored this season, but he's been assisting and creating plenty of chances.
I think he has for PSG.
But Ronaldo, I don't know why that is so hard for United to do. Well, actually, I know that's a lie. I know why it is hard. It's more about the way Ten Hag probably expects his number 9 to play. And the reality is Ronaldo doesn't have the legs for it anymore. Like, right. he can still finish. That's one. I don't think it will ever leave him. But especially the way the Prem is, and it wasn't as glaring when he was still in Syria. You know that in Prem, but if it's to run 100 meters, nobody in Prem is giving you space to run 100 meters. It's usually those quick 30-meter busts. And Ronaldo doesn't have those legs anymore for that. Like, he's not beating quick centre-backs in those 30-meter busts anymore. So it takes away from him to be in a position to actually use that finishing ability. But I don't know, man. It's Ronaldo is a goat, man, and I try to give him the respect he deserves. But at the same time, he's getting a big tick minutes at this point in time.
I also think United are going to struggle much more going into the rest of the season, because these last three games they faced people who they can afford to play a counter-attacking game against, which has worked well because they have Eriksen and Bruno, who like really know how to pass the ball, but. Once they go up against the Premier League low block, Louboutin, they'll start dropping points again.
Brother, I'm worried about that. I can't even lie to you. I'm worried about that shit, man. I'm super worried about that.
Because
we need to know how to beat teams that, you are going to sit back. You know, teams where, games where we're going to dominate possession. What are we going to do? I was just looking at it, just that game. Obviously, like, they gave us possession, right? Like, they gave us possession. And what did we do with it? Fuck all. And, I mean, that's another game where the referee... Did you guys see this? Did you see how Sociedad scored or how they got a penalty?
No, I didn't actually watch the game.
Yeah, they blew the whistle for a handball. And this was a shot where...
Like, yeah, that was a dodgy one.
And then to the hand. And obviously, like, straight up, like, FIFA rules, like, that is not a handball, right? But, like, I don't know whether the referee did not know it. They went to VAR and they still gave the penalty. And, they scored. They won.
Yeah, I think in Europe, the handball rules are much harsher. I remember the same thing happening to Arsenal against Benfica last season. From the body onto the arm.
No, that was very weird, Sha. But, yeah, whatever. They should take their dub. I don't know. We need to figure it out, Sha. We need to figure out how to play against smaller teams that have lower blocks, because that's going to be a problem, like you said.
I think Ten Hag is trying to do this like two-way thing where one, he's trying to coach his style of play, the style that they were practicing in the preseason, that they tried and tried, and then they thought they could just come and do it in the Prem. Turns out they can't. But also, he needs to win games. So... like the counter-attacking football is what they prep for the next match, and then they'll now go back to training. But yeah, they play every 3 days, so I don't know how he's gonna.
I think Ten Hag is gonna face the same problem Solskjaer faced, where it's like he has his style, he wants the team to play, but he needs to get results. And eventually, that, like you said, that's what fucks Solskjaer. Solskjaer was playing every 3 days, and he's trying to switch between different style of plays every 3 days. Well, against City, against Liverpool, he knows he needs to play the low block counter-attack. He prepares his players for that because that's what he plays best. But against teams that were going to sit in the low block, he had the style he wanted to play, but he technically didn't have the players to play that style. Now, the difference is, I think Ten Hag has more players to play the style he wants than Ole had, which is weird.
Ole did not know his style.
No, I would say that. Only knew his style, but he, at the point he could start implementing his style, Ronaldo came in, and that changed the game.
Speaking of managers who are fucked, Thomas Tuchel has been sacked from Chelsea.
Tuchel ban.
It's a bit delayed, but we caught this one.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie though, it surprised me. Not the sacking, the timing of the sacking definitely surprised me.
Yes, after they've spunked like close to £300 million or whatever on players that are obviously of Tuchel's recommendation, you go ahead and sack him 2 weeks later. That timing also like surprised me. But
my thing is, if you're gonna do that, it's almost like you're fucking over whoever the new coach is, right? Because, I mean, in fairness to Graham Potter, though, he plays like three at the back. But his teams are, there's a flexibility his team has with the attacking football where it's not so defender heavy. Tuchel is the one that's a very defender heavy coach and the way his team sets up. And Chelsea is a defender heavy team right now. They have Koulibaly, they have Silva, they have Azpilicueta, Rich James, Cucurella,
Fofana,
Chilwell. Like, the list is plenty. So they're a very defender-heavy team right now. And you could say they're compensating for the future and age because Koulibaly is old, Silva is old, Aspi is old, and I get that. But at the same time, it's like, what's the end goal with their current setup? They still missing midfielders. And I don't know, man. I like Graham Potter, though. I look, he didn't want them to get Graham Potter because I think he's a pretty good coach.
That. I think he's a good coach as well.
I think he's a good coach. And the way he plays, he's...
Now I hope his ceiling maybe was not so high, you know, just as a rival fan. And I think the one thing that works in the favor, or rather against Graham Potter, is that in Brighton, he can make as many changes as he wants. He can be as dynamic as he wants. And they can drop points and nobody bats an eye. As in, he can get away with, you know, tinkering his team all the time. But you can't really do that in the big club, especially when the pressure is on and you need the results. So it depends on how much time Chelsea are willing to give him. But I am afraid. I am afraid about this one.
I low-key... and again, you know, I wish Lizzie was alive for the sole reason that I didn't want him to have time with the team ahead of their first game. But with Lizzie's passing, he may have like, what, 3 weeks before their first game?
I think so the next round of fixtures is next week.
He has the Champions League during the week. So that's, but like, he basically, that's, I don't want him having time. I wanted Chelsea to go on bad form. But, you know, it is what it is, man. What I like, though, I like him pretty well. He's one of those guys.
I don't think he's going to, like, influence immediate change. I might be wrong, but even at Brighton, did Potter like start off with flying colors?
No, it wasn't immediate. It took a season.
Right, it took time. Like it takes like the gradual growth process. And is that something that Chelsea have the patience for? They gave the man a 5-year contract anyway, so let's see how that pans out.
I think Todd Boehly is trying to, or he strikes the look of somebody who's trying to implement a long-term strategy, you know, with the signing of the youth, but this way he's like trying to usher in a new era. So
yeah,
in principle he should, but you never know.
And I get that. At the same time though, there are some things about the way he's setting up I am a bit concerned about. So apparently one of the main reasons Tuchel was asked was like him and the owners had been clashing, but not like big clashing, just like Tuchel wanted to focus on football and have a technical director focus on the outside football thing. But Todd Boehly is the technical director or sporting director. I don't know which one it is. So he was having to involve Tuchel a lot more, which I think this new era of coaches, that's something they're probably not used to because there's a lot going on the football side, right? You have people like Wenger, Ferguson, I don't know how involved Jose was with it, but no, actually, no, that's it. Like Jose always had Maria while he was at Chelsea. But basically, you have the OGs like Wenger and Ferguson who have a hand in every part of the club. but that's because of history and legacy and a bunch of other things, right? But now you have new era coaches like Tuchel, who is like, yo, allow me focus on the football side and minimal involvement on the transfer side. I'll tell you what I'm looking for and you go out and figure it out.
But he's right, though. They need a sporting director.
Yeah, they do. But if your owner is your sporting director, there's a lack of freedom you have with it.
Also, what does he know about? He doesn't really know anything about football.
Yeah. Like
the Tuchel camp, did you see they leaked the story about Bully trying to convince him about Ronaldo?
When I saw that, I was so... Like, don't get me wrong. Me too, I felt it's meant for Tuchel. I'm like, bro, don't... It's like, I don't tell you how to be a billionaire. Don't come and try to tell me how to do my job.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might again,
that
I think
definitely caused the rift, though.
Yeah, it's of course it was the beginning of the rift. And
I think you need to specify what exactly was happening between Bully and Tuchel.
Oh, well, I mean, they just had a difference in opinion on how a big club should be run, from what I have like read and heard. As so, Tuchel is like, we need a sporting director, like, I don't want to be doing this as part of my job. So Bully, in the meantime, I think they tried to sign Liverpool's former sporting director. I think his name is Dan Ashworth, but I could be wrong about that. That could be the current Brighton one. Anyway, they tried to sign Liverpool's former sporting director. He turned down the job. I think that's where the problem started, because normally you would want to get your sporting director before even you have a manager in place, right? Unlike what they've done now, which is sign Graham Potter. Now they still have to find a sporting director that is comfortable with having Graham Potter as the manager. But yeah, Tuchel, I think, had too much on his plate. We've seen in the past how he gets with the board at different clubs. It happened at Mainz, happened at Dortmund, it happened at PSG. It's happened again. And like, I don't like the way he was talking at the end of his tenure, to be honest. It didn't like sound like a manager that was going to be there for a while. The fact that he was always blaming players.
So I'll put it this way, though. Like, on this one, with everything that's gone on, I'm actually on Tuchel's side of this equation. And I'll give you the biggest example of this drift and why I'm like, hey, these owners, maybe, like, I get them, they're new into the big ground and they're trying to understand everything. But it was like, Bolli was asking Tuchel about signing Ronaldo. And Tuchel was like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Doesn't make sense for us, doesn't make sense for what we're trying to do. And Bolli was like, oh, but why? And Tuchel was so amazed. He's like, yo, I'm the coach now. Why do I have to explain this to you, why we do not need 35-year-old Ronaldo on our team?
38,
my bad. See, I even reduced his year by 3 years. But that's basically the issue on ground, right? That's for me, that was one of the big signs that, okay, there's a problem here. Because if you think about it, right, Tuchel, that last season, he basically, with everything going on with Abramovich and Russia and stuff, towards the end of last season, he basically had to drag the team over the finish line into the Champions League spots. Then the transition with the new owners, then trying to do signings, then him low-key being a mini like sports director and manager at the same time. And like a lot of times, I know we don't talk about like personal side of things for the players and the coaches, but Loki, he's also recently dealing with a divorce, right? If I'm remembering correctly. So all of these things happening.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. There was a time where it was unfortunately all over the socials, Tuchel divorce. And it's not great. It wasn't, basically that could have an effect. So all of these things happening around the same time, just with new owners, it's a recipe for disaster, right? When man was like telling the owners, like, look, man, see, a lot is going on right now. Allow me focus on the football part. It's what I know how to do.
Damala, I hear that, right? But then, if I'm to play devil's advocate for Bolli, Bolli is saying, okay, you don't want Ronaldo, no problem, you win. I don't get Ronaldo, because, I mean, they allowed Ronaldo to, right? What do you want? 70 million defender, here you go. 65 million right back, I'll be left back, here you go. Another 70 million defender, here you go. You know? He wanted Sterling, he got him Sterling. You know? So, Tuchel, we've done what you want, right? This is what you've asked for.
deliver, and they are losing to Dynamo Zagreb in the Champions League.
Yeah, you know? But this is how many games into the season?
I know. It's quite soon, right? But like, I feel like if you look at, if you micro judge Chelsea based on their performances, like their players, like in play, you know, you see that, man, they look like they are headless. Like, it's almost like Tuchel's job is done. Yeah,
I get that, and
there's
I don't
no progress
agree.
Going on there.
Of
it's
the
not
big
a team
teams.
That's riding on any progress from last season.
Yeah, I agree with you. Of the big teams, Chelsea were easily the worst watch. Like, the only time Chelsea was enjoyable was when they were playing another big team. Other than that, they weren't a great watch. Newcastle was more enjoyable to watch than Chelsea so far in the season. And I agree with you, there's been a lot of money spent. And I personally think, like, for example, if this was Abramovich, I still think he was going to get sacked maybe by, like, November or October. But like, 6 games in, I don't know, it's weird, right? Especially since this is very early on. Like, we've seen a lot of times where, like, coaches have a bit of a rough start in the season for whatever reason, but then an international break comes along and they're able to, like, figure it out after. They didn't even give him up to the standard international break. It's weird.
Yeah, for me, what? If you spend all that money, you at least give him some time, you know? Like, Dennis Zakaria has not even played a game. Oba has played 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't get it. But
I think that was just a rift. And obviously,
there's more behind
they inherited Tuchel. They didn't employ him. They inherited him. So I think he was always, like, you know, running on borrowed time. And he now, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Should one step too far, perhaps.
Chilwell aside again, you know, they were about to start their left back, right back bullshit. Because it's James that has been performing for Chelsea this season. And now Chilwell
has
come in for Cucurella. And, you know, scored an assist to give them their win against West Ham in their last Premier League game. So, I don't know whether that was that's sustainable football. I don't think that
can last. You got to play to your strength. I mean, Graham Potter has always been really good at just, like, working with the players he has in a way to do unorthodox things to get the best out of the players he has. Rhys James is a fucking world-class man, low-key.
Yeah.
So, What
are you guys' verdict on Chelsea? What do you think what's going to happen to Chelsea this season now?
Yo-yo. I think hard to say.
I think a bit of a yo-yo.
Strong Champions League run. Watch that.
Yeah. I don't know about strong Champions League run. I think I'm calling a strong cup run. I'm not calling a strong Champions League run. I see yo-yo with a strong cup run. What I'm not sure is if the yo-yo is bad enough to have them finishing out of top four. That's the part I'm not sure about. Speaking of struggling Germans, though, Liverpool is not looking good, fam. And it's not just, like, other than that one game against Bournemouth.
Liverpool are looking even worse.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, is Klopp trying to join his fellow German and exit the English?
I mean, all this is, I guess, because of the 4-1 against Napoli, right?
No, they looked bad. So here's the thing about Liverpool.
I mean,
Liverpool has lost games before. It's not the first time. It won't be the last time. But they are not looking good. And I think that's the thing, right? Liverpool is going through the same problem Ferguson used to have, where he'd refresh his teams every 3 years, every 4 years. Basically, Ferguson used to do a mini refresh of the team just to keep things fresh. Guardiola does the same thing. I think Klopp is going through that at Liverpool in the sense that, if you think about it, he's had the exact same players playing a very intense and painful style of football for the last 5 years, right? And they are probably just towards the end of their life cycle. Robertson looks old. Like, he looks aged right now. And it's not just his accent. Robertson looks so aged.
Klopp is that Mr. 7 years, man. Like, I mean, I don't want to sound ridiculous or join that gang, but truly, truly, it's always 7 years before, or it's always on the seventh year that his ship collapses in his previous jobs.
Right, really? Yeah. He stayed at Dortmund for 7 years.
Yeah, and it was on the 7th year that they had that season where they were struggling for relegation. Same with Mainz. On his he did brilliantly, and then on his 7th
year, they did beat Bournemouth 9-0.
I think that was the more I think about it, that may have been more about Bournemouth than it was about, like, don't get me wrong.
No, but it was still nine.
No, but like, reactionary, you know, that was coming off the loss to Manchester United, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So it was a ginger win for Liverpool.
I'm still relatively bullish that Liverpool will be they'll be decent. They'll still come up.
I don't think they'll be terrible for this season, but there are like things concerning about them, right? EJ, for example, it seems like we're getting towards the 7 year mark for Klopp, as you said. But also their midfield keeps getting injured. Like, I don't think as a Premier League team that is fighting for what they're fighting, you should have Milner and Henderson starting in any of your games that are not cup games or like dash games, for lack of a better term. And that's legit what happened. That's what happened in the games they've lost this season. Their midfield has been overrun against Napoli. My God, what is that? I know his name is not Kakashi, but I genuinely can't pronounce his name right now. I can't pronounce his name right now.
Oh, the Napoli guy.
His name is not easy to pronounce right now.
Yeah,
but I'm not even gonna lie, man. He ran that Liverpool midfield ragged. Trent, I know media came around and Klopp was defending his players, but Klopp was doing more defending than Trent in that game, bro.
Trent and Joe Gomez on front watch.
Oh my god!
I don't know what they're defending right now. They're costing Liverpool a lot of points.
Yeah, no, that was. I don't know what was going on, but that midfield was overrun and beaten into submission.
Sorry. Why did they buy Arthur? Or rather, why did you get
that's a great loan? Question. Oh, these transfer deadline day deals.
They got Arthur on loan, and they are still playing Harvey Elliott and James Milner with Fabinho in midfield.
Like Arthur gave it like 2 days ago now.
No. Arthur has been there Arthur was there for the Everton game. I believe he was there. Bench and watch that game. Let me just confirm that. You know, I don't know why. Why you wouldn't just like plead the guy? Why?
Klopp is stubborn.
Worth it.
Maybe when Arthur came, they realized he's not as good as they thought.
Yeah, that could also be another thing. It's he probably didn't show enough in training to be like, okay, damn, yeah, you deserve to. Yeah, although low-key Liverpool needs it heavily, bro. Milner and Henderson cannot be starting games with them. I don't know how many times I need to say it, but like, and I don't know, this is the other thing I don't know. I don't know if this is like more of an issue of Klopp being stubborn, because low-key Klopp is stubborn. And if you hear Klopp talk when Liverpool loses a game, it's actually hilarious. Klopp will say something like, yeah, bro, the grass was too high. I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? Didn't the other team play in the same grass? yeah, out here telling us the grass was too high. Or they'll beat Klopp and Klopp will say, to be honest, we actually played well. We deserve to win the game. I'm like, bro, this same game we saw Joe Gomez and Trent standing around looking like mopeds. Yeah, saying you deserve to win.
So with Mo Salah, I don't know. His performances lately have been a bit questionable. I don't know how Liverpool would score 9 goals, put 9 goals past Bournemouth, and Salah wouldn't get so much as an assist, for example. He was there the whole time. He didn't score. He didn't assist. 9 goals. You know, and I mean, I don't know. If I was to ask you guys trivia, like, how old is Salah? Off the top of your head, how old is Salah right now? How old is Salah?
29. How old is Salah? 29.
Yeah, I was going to say 29 too.
Salah is 30. Salah is 30. So I don't know whether he's now we're getting there or yeah.
So Salah is on fraud watch.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I agree. That I think for me that was the biggest like red flag. I saw Liverpool because I didn't watch the game and I looked at the results and I saw 9 and I was like, oh, calm. And I had Salah as my captain in FPL. So I was like, yeah, bro, I'm eating good today. Only for me to enter FPL, bro, and I saw 6 points. I was so upset that day. And I think Haaland almost bagged the hat-trick that day. So, as you can imagine, I was, like, properly upset that day.
Speaking
of Haaland, that guy is a beast.
Yeah.
I guess we will know.
Did you not hear me?
What did you say? Hear me?
I said, I hope you guys are seeing trickery on FPL. I just hope you are seeing him. Let's go. I think I'm first. I think I'm number one on 3 in a row, you know.
Mad.
Yes. Yes. At least finally we have somebody like one of 3 in a row or you know, topping 3 in a row. For goodness sake. Come on. It's high time.
To be honest, I have no mouth for FPL anymore.
Yeah, me, I don't. I have no mouth. I don't have FPL mouth right now. So.
Like, FPL draft, though. Ask
If you're drafting, man, my strategy is not working. What is called?
It's still too early. It's early for that.
Like, yeah, that's for sure. Listen,
is it safe to say that Man City are going to comfortably win the league and Haaland is going to score 40 goals?
Yes.
I really blame all the other rich clubs that didn't attempt. Yeah, it's to me, all of them deserve flogging in some form or way because Haaland had the release. So this is a very simple issue of all of you could have legit met the release cause.
They all tried.
I feel like Haaland decided on Man City. You know, I feel like even Real Madrid, like how many clubs could have activated that release clause? I feel like 1,000 clubs could have. The guy just chose where he was going to go to, and it was Man City. Smart choice as well.
Yeah.
I lowkey think Madrid also didn't put in a concrete offer for him like that. Didn't put in a concrete offer. They could have easily made a release clause. But the whole thing with them chasing
Madrid went from Mbappe.
Yeah, it probably affected their recruiting strategy. They didn't make as much of a case as they probably could have because they thought either we were having Mbappe. But you know, speaking of Madrid, they are doing well recently. Shout out to yo. I'm not even gonna lie. And as a active Chelsea hater, Hazard is one of those players I love seeing play when he's fit. Football just looks sweet on his leg. He played well in the Champions League. Yeah, he played very well in the Champions League game. Coming on for an injured Big Ben. So I hope Ben is all right.
Yeah, they're going to need him.
And he looked good again. He didn't score or assist during the game today, but he didn't look bad. It's hopefully, if depending on how long Ben is out, he can get a run, get his legs under him. And let's see if he can go from there. Because, you know, if it has that, it's a beauty to behold.
Big Ben is not starting the best this season, is he?
No, Big Ben's has started well. He just got injured last game. What is distracting you is that Xavi has Lewandowski scoring like a machine, man.
Yeah, like compared to what Lewandowski is doing, what the young lads are doing, as in Haaland and Mbappe, Big Ben's is having a quiet one still. Mr. Ballon d'Or, what's going on there?
You know what might be going through Lewandowski's head? You know, he's been at Bayern all this time, you know, putting in, you know, crazy performances season after season. And obviously he's generally been overlooked for the Ballon d'Or. And I don't know whether he might still have that in his sights going to Barcelona and, you know, just trying to compete versus the Benzema that everyone is saying is so sensational, right? Now we are in the same league, you know, we are playing on a, you know, weekly basis. You know, let's compete. He's opened up the gap. Lewandowski is already opening up the gap.
We thought the German league was farming. People used to hate on the German league, but these guys, Lewandowski and Haaland, they're showing that like we are the farmers, really.
Side note, Benzema's actually not had the bad stats.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, so in 4 La Liga games, he has 3 goals. It's just Lewandowski is starting very hot, so but I don't know. It's like looking at the thing about the Farmers League, I think in fairness, yeah, maybe, and I'm guilty of this, I need to reevaluate the way I use the term farmers slash winemakers leagues. Because I've been thinking about it more with the Haaland thing recently. But like then again, Haaland is one of those atypical players. He seems like he was built to play the EPL. And he went to a team that creates high volume chances. Physically, exactly. He's in a team that creates a lot of chances, and he's a very good finisher. Much made in heaven.
He won't do better in any other team in England. There's no team that will offer him more than Manchester City.
Agreed. But a close second would have been Arsenal. He should have gone.
Don't do this now.
I'm not even gonna lie, man. Don Flo has infected me with the idea of Galacticos. Arsenal need our
manager. They infected Amola. Amola has been caught by the Arteta bug.
We've got Super Mick Arteta.
Hey, I'm not doing that one with you yet. But he's not a fraud watch anymore. I'm not doing
that. That's a fun watch, man. Come on. What a great guy. What's things ahead?
But speaking of fraud watch, back on Klopp, do you think a lot of it has to do with them not being with Mane?
No. I think it's the midfield, as you already said. The attack is still, like, decent. No.
The attack is also a problem. The attack is a problem
when they're still scoring 9 against Bournemouth.
But that's the only game they scored that amount of goals. Bro, I'm not even going to lie, man. Like, against Newcastle, Isak was... it's another Joe Gomez and Trent thing. Well, Isak was making those defenders look very average.
I don't know, man. I really do think it's the midfield. Like,
well, yeah, no. I also agree with him, but I can't underrate the importance of what Mane did. Mane was the attacker that...
in the team... The attack is...
Nunez, another useless guy.
Bro, I'm not even going to lie, man. It's early, but Nunez may be on fraud watch, bro. Wow.
Man,
I know it's very
early. Jota will bench Nunez very fast.
I think they should be praying for Jota more than Nunez. Nunez may be on fraud watch more because there's a lack of elegance or technique in the way he plays.
People already started bouncing him even without Jota in the picture.
Like Nunez looks like he plays like Ragra football, if that makes sense.
La caca football, brother.
Like he just shot me something bumble inside there. And maybe in Portugal, that was the way, man.
That works, but
in Portugal,
forgetting how successful Diego Costa was playing that kind of football.
Yeah, no, but see, Diego Costa, the system matched him doing that, right? Liverpool's system does not necessarily match having a striker that does Bambi football. I remember because I think he scored or he assisted against Fulham. It looked so clumsy. And I remember watching it and I'm like, bro, I mean, hey, you're a professional footballer. Like, obviously, I can't do what you're doing. At the same time, why do you look like I will have more control with the ball on the field than you currently do? But I don't know, man. It may be early times.
I think Liverpool is going to show you guys levels this season.
I don't deny this. I think they'll show us levels too. But, I mean, in comparison, the only team that was like near City's level was them. And it feels like even they are dropping from City.
Right now, we're looking at Arsenal.
We're not doing that here.
But guys, if you take Liverpool out of the picture, and like we've said, Chelsea are in trouble. You know, Manchester United are in trouble. You know.
Okay, see, let's stop that. First of all, United are in the building process right now. It's serious.
Arsenal are ahead of us in that building process. I will say this.
Of all the teams I have watched play in this Premier League season, the only team I think plays better football this season, generally this season, than Arsenal is Man City.
Of course. I agree with that as well. I agree with that.
So not saying like we're going to challenge for the league or anything, but in terms of the quality of football, I like what I'm seeing so far.
So Arsenal for second place.
Please, if we get it, I'll be more than happy, but you won't hear me. You won't hear me say that as a prediction out of my mouth.
I'm tired. You might better be Champions League though. Like that's like bare minimum. Would you agree? I just want to have you guys on record.
Champions League is the bare minimum efforts that we can go for.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no. Champions League is the bare minimum. If he doesn't make it, they should sack him.
Damola, fuck off.
If he doesn't make it, they should sack him.
Like what is wrong with him?
If he doesn't make it, they should sack him.
With fifth place.
Yes, of course he can. Of course,
I think he can. He definitely can. In fact, he probably will if he does that. But I don't think he should. I don't think he should. I think
would Gabriel Jesus and I don't know.
Zinchenko. So I think that's part of the thing, right? Arteta is at a point where he's brought in players who have that dog in them. So him too, they are putting him under a spotlight. Because those ones, they know what to win and how to win. They've tasted the winning. They like it. They are not going to settle for a coach who doesn't have that ginger in him. So that's why I think that in reality, knowing the way Arsenal operates, if he doesn't make champs this season, they can and probably will still keep him. Should they keep him? In my opinion, no. If he doesn't make champs this season.
Right.
The same time, though, market is scarce. I'm thinking of managers out there, and there are no managers
better balance.
There's no manager out there. I love
for improvement. We keep
Tuchel was looking very, very interesting at some point for Chelsea, though.
Who took out?
Yeah, it was looking like a world beater for a manager.
Yeah, when he was winning the Champions League, to be fair, you're right.
Yeah,
but that didn't last.
So we started looking at him on the same level as Klopp, and I know I did. Well, close to the same level as Klopp and Pep. Now look at him. Back to Brendan Rodgers.
Brendan Rodgers is another one, man.
Next to be sacked, surely.
Yeah. Well, actually,
let's not spend no money at all. Like, I don't think that man cares. I don't think that man even cares if they sack him. Like, he might even be wanting to be put out of the misery right now, because there's no joy in that Leicester team, and they're like trying to poach their players. For some of them are trying to leave, So
I'm actually surprised like Arsenal didn't go for Tielemans. That part shocked me, but it's more well actually it's not, it didn't shock me, because I think if we really wanted him, we'd have gotten it done as part of the earlier season.
I saw a very suspicious clip of Tielemans recently.
Yo, bro, I saw that same clip, man. And Loki, off the back of that clip, I don't want him to.
What clip? Enlighten the people.
So there was a clip
tracking back, fam.
Yeah, I can't remember who the team was, but basically, Leicester lost the ball and they were being countered and they were scarce. Tielemans was now the midfielder. I had to chase,
bro. I was jogging, bro.
Bro, Tielemans looked like me running on the football field. Like, it did not look good. The optics of it were like,
all right, is this the Tielemans that man are after?
Yeah, so, like, don't get me wrong, man. Of the optics of that, I guess why they didn't want Tielemans. the optics were legit not. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was bad. That being said,
you really don't want that type of body language, like when your team are on back foot. Like, nobody wants to see their players not tracking back when there's a chance that there's a chance of you conceding a goal.
Yeah, like it's more of the body language, even less of the speed, right? Because like Xhaka is not the quickest human being on it, but when he's tracking back, you can see the effort to get back.
Right.
Tielemans just looked so languid, coupled with slow speed. It was just, it wasn't a good look at all.
Okay, guys, let's round up with some quick hits. I got some quick stuff for you to react to before we call it a day. It's been a little while, this episode. Diego Costa has come back to the Premier League, guys.
He's old. Miss. Yeah, I think that could be a miss. If he's old, he doesn't have the same energy. And Loki, I think he has inflated age. I think he already has a football age, so whatever his current age is, add 5 to it. That's his problem.
No, well, like I said that. Costa is 42.
Bro, look at Costa. I remember when Costa they were claiming Costa was a 20 something year old man.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. So yeah, me too. I'm a miss on that one. He's old. He doesn't have the legs anymore.
I would love to see how he can fare in the Premier League. I think he's getting older. He'll be even dirtier and nastier as his technical ability reduces. So hopefully that should be fun.
Yeah. Miss on that one.
Finally, I guess from me, PSG. How are we looking at them? They look unbelievable.
I think Neymar may be back, man. No, don't quote me on this, but World Cup here, Neymar playing like Neymar.
Yeah, so
Neymar said he had all the chatting and lucky, man. He's been all Neymar looks so good.
I took it personally.
Yeah.
Are we seeing red flags with Mbappe?
Because
the flag is many colors.
It's Pogba's juju man working.
That's another entire thing. Oh my god, that Pogba thing. First of all, I feel bad for Pogba. To have your brother do that to you in public eye is terrible.
It's embarrassing. Don't feel bad if Pogba actually did to John Mbappe.
Yeah, no. Don't get me wrong. Togbe, is there anything you would do that Tommy Wah will come on Twitter and say, hey, if you think Toped Babalola is a good person? He's not, and I'll show you how. Like you don't treat family that way, especially family I'm meant to be close to. So on that, I do feel bad for Pogba.
I remember when I told I was on holiday with like my French friends, and I was like, oh, have you seen these things? They were like, no way these brothers will ever turn on each other. That it must be media thing. Da, da, da. And then the next day he came back like, bro, shit, it looks like it's real. It's on smoke. And it's not just, the guy's not just coming after Pogba. He's coming after a number of footballers, I think.
Yeah, he's coming about, because Raniola was the one that recently passed, yes?
Yeah, Raniola.
He's coming after that agency he's on. So from the looks of things, or somebody specific in that agency. But yo, that's a messy situation. I will leave that one to the authorities. I just wish Pogba good health. Because he's one of those players that likes him play ball when fit.
And on that note, thanks for tuning in, guys. Thanks for jumping on the pod. It's been a pleasure as always. 2 weeks, Consistency Kings are back.
And yeah, also, World Cup here, man. Brazil for the win. Sugar Bonito to the world.
West Africa for the win. Ghana, we support. Ghanaian folk.
It's ideally African country. If no African country, Brazil.
Okay, so realistic. And Brazil.
An African country does not include France this time.
I'm dead.